Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
This is Bob Siegel. So you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder if Jesus were here on earth today, would he go to basketball games and football games and baseball games? Would he be into sports? He probably would. He was a fun guy, but I think he'd leave politics out of sports. And here's somebody else who feels the same way. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Hey, 2 weeks in a row.
How about That's that? Cool. One more and you win a set of luggage.
Oh.
Matching luggage.
Oh, man, we got to work something out here. Oh, well, yeah, you know, right now the basketball playoffs are going on. In fact, it's the championship round. The Boston Celtics are tied with the Golden State Warriors 2 games apiece in the best of 7 series for the crown. And so the timing seems good. It seemed we have visited sports things in the past, but I thought this would be a good time to talk about the WNBA. No, not that league. I'm talking about the woke National Basketball
League. Yeah, that seems to be what it stands for more today.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It is current. Not only are they having their playoffs right now, but in the wake of the recent shooting here in Uvalde, Texas, only an hour and a half from where I live, there's been an awful lot of feedback all around the company. It was a tragic, tragic thing. I want to say that first of all, it's horrible when things like that happen. Is it avoidable? Well, maybe we can do more. Maybe having some security on campuses would help. Saying you're going to have new gun laws really isn't the solution because, you know, it's against the law to murder people. To start with.
It's like saying, gee, we should have tougher murder laws. Well, they're already tough. You can be executed, but people are still murdering.
Yeah. Yeah. And an adult that doesn't have any children in the school is not supposed to be on campus. So you know, all of that, this man violated all kinds of things. But, you know, the easy thing for Biden and his cronies to do is to say, see, this is why we need gun control. Which is the stupidest reaction, I think, that you could possibly have. So, having said that, we're going to talk about the WNBA, the Woke National Basketball Association. And they've had a lot of response from some of the key players and coaches who are typically in line with the woke culture and the far left.
And so or more correctly put, typically in line with wherever the left happens to be. If the left was somewhere else, they'd be in line with that.
Yeah, yeah. But before we get into some of those particular individuals, I'd like to just point out that Nike, the basketball shoe company, Nike's China operations are worth an estimated $5 billion.
And the government murders people themselves in China, and they put people into slave labor camps in China.
Yeah, which is where some of the shoes are made. They're, you know, it makes the sweatshops in the garment district of L.A. seem like a picnic. But China and the NBA are definitely in bed together. And more, we're going to talk about some of it. Now, they have a fan base. This is staggering. China supposedly has a fan base of the NBA of 500 million people. That's more people than live in the United States. Not just fans in the United States, because I don't think there's that many fans anymore. 500 million people, and some of that is because there's only so many channels you can watch when you live in communist China, and you're going to watch with the
Yeah, you can watch the communist channel or the communist channel. Communist channel blue and communist channel red.
Yeah, that's right. Don't touch that dial. but the fact is, it's a huge money-making thing in China, and then they're making shoes over there with slave labor, and the NBA and its officials just will not touch it. There's a couple of people that have spoken out, and they have paid the price for it. And along the lines with the money, I just want to point out that LeBron James, who we're going to talk about in detail, who just recently announced that his net worth is $1 billion. He's already worth $1 billion, but he has a lifetime contract with Nike that is worth $1 billion. Now, he collects every year from them. He makes over $40 million a year just for playing for the Los Angeles.
So I just have to ask, if he really wants to take a stand, why doesn't he decide to not work for Nike anymore?
He doesn't want to take a stand. In fact, he's gotten very defensive when people come out and say things. His response is, "You're not educated," which is funny for a guy that went from high school to the NBA and didn't even go to college. And we'll talk about...
Well, I must say, going to college these days doesn't give you much of an education either. So,
no, but he at least could learn to speak English. His command of the English language is actually—it's kind of fun. It's kind of like Yogi Berra back in the day. You know,
well, I would grant him that. I don't really care how well somebody speaks English. I do care if they're just walking around with blatant hypocrisy. He supports one of the most ruthless countries, if not the most ruthless country today, and yet he gives us these sanctimonious lectures that we're not woke enough.
Absolutely, and that's my biggest issue with King James, as he likes to call himself. King James, you know, I don't watch ESPN anymore. I used to love every morning I would watch Sports Center because it would be on a 30-minute rotation. You could just, or an hour or whatever, you could watch it and it would go over and over and over again. You could tune in at any point and get the whole show. But because of their extreme liberal commentaries and stands that they take, enough is enough. So I don't watch them. But that's all part of that big picture there. And I'm sure when you go to work for a company like that, if you're a reporter, you have an understanding that there are lines that you can't cross. And so if the company is anti-Trump, for instance, you're not going to say something good about him. They recently published a report, and this amazed me because they usually, you know, just don't do anything that would be controversial or that would go against, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, which in this case would be the NBA and all of the stuff they show on their channel. They published a report that claimed that in addition to the money the teams derive from the NBA's $5 billion business, which I mentioned earlier, many owners have personal stakes through their own businesses. And ESPN examined the investments of 40 principal owners and found that they were collectively have more than $10 billion tied up in Chinese business. And then I love this guy. I know you don't follow sports as much, Bob, but there's a guy named Jason Whitlock who has been on ESPN, writes for them. He's a black reporter. He's a solid guy, and he's not afraid to take a stand or say things that are controversial. And I really appreciated his honesty and his ability to look at both sides of a coin. And he suggested that the actual investment numbers are closer to $100 billion and implied that ESPN might be holding back some damaging information about the NBA's relationship.
Well, I was going to ask, how woke would you say ESPN itself is these days?
How woke is
ESPN? I mean, you're talking about the NBA, but how woke is ESPN, the network itself? Aren't they getting pretty liberal and woke today, too?
Oh, I think, yes, extremely.
Except that they are willing to do some criticism that's objective, you're saying.
Well, in this case, which was kind of shocking. And Jason Whitlock, I'm surprised they haven't crucified the guy, but if they did, he played the race card.
Yeah, always a handy card to play.
That's the irony they have. And the guy's, he's outspoken. He's very much about people getting opportunities and everything else. But when he sees something, I almost said something that would get me in trouble. He calls it like he sees it. And so I do appreciate Mr. Jason Whitlock. But he comes out and he says, I think it's closer to $100 billion, and I think that they're holding back information. Wow. That's just an inside opinion from a guy who I think has a pretty good handle on things. So when the statement was made, Nike got a little bit of blowback, I guess, for making a statement concerning forced labor. And we talked about this on the show a while back in Zigzag, the region where the the Uyghurs are. These are Muslims that live in China, and they've been extremely oppressed and persecuted, really.
They have, and we've spoken out against Muslim nations and the oppression that they do, but we want to be fair. When Muslims are in the minority and they're being oppressed, we want to speak out against that as well.
Exactly, and this is amazing. Nike CEOs said Nike is a brand of China and for China. You know, so, they're pretty much in bed with China. In fact, Nike lobbied Congress to weaken an anti-forced labor bill that was aimed at the human rights abuse. Nike lobbied Congress because it was embarrassing to them, frankly. So they have a campaign for a while, and it was simply this, says who? That was the Nike ad, says who? And the answer is obvious. The Chinese regime says.
Yeah, so, no kidding.
So anyway, that's been an ongoing thing. And I think what really, really bugs me is that people like LeBron and Steve Kerr, who we're going to mention, he's coaching right now in the NBA Finals for the Golden State Warriors. They will not speak out against China. And reporters, frankly, are pretty mute on the subject. They don't want to, you know, they know they're not going to get an answer, and they don't want to take heat from their bosses. But none of these people will come out and say, look, there are human rights violations going on in China, and your Nike billion-dollar business is clouding your vision, and you won't tell the truth. You won't come out and say, hey, even just to come out and say, look, if there's something going on, somebody needs to look into it. But they won't even do that because it's the gravy train. You know, we talked about this not long ago on the show. That
the big god of the dollar sign.
Yeah, and in this case, the love of money in the NBA is absolutely the root of all kinds of evil going on. In this case, the evil of sins of omission, just not saying anything. What's that old thing about the only thing evil needs to succeed is for good men to do nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think some of these guys are good guys. I think Steve Kerr is a good guy. I really do. But I think his politics are really warped.
Well, you always have the people who are sincerely misled by some political ideology. And then you have others who really know the truth, but they're too cowardly to do anything about it, or they're too enticed by the riches and the rewards.
Example being Drew Brees, where he made the comment about standing for the flag, and then you shouldn't be kneeling down during the flag, and then backtrack the very next hour day or so.
What did he say to justify his backtrack? Did he try to rationalize it at all?
Basically, he's saying, I should stand with my players and teammates more. That was about it. But
Translation, somebody just gave me a good cuffing in the locker room and threatened me.
That's right.
Possibly so, yeah. And Drew Brees is a good guy. He's a really good guy. But in that case, I think he really dropped the ball.
No pun intended.
Well, actually it was, but there's a lot of that that goes on. And frankly, you know, on the one hand, you have to think of, I'm making a whole lot of money. And on the other hand, I'm going to get the wrath of my teammates, particularly the non-white teammates, if I don't toe the line, if I don't stand with
Black
Lives
Matter. Well, and this is where moving away from Judeo-Christian values is such a problem, because if a person was fearing God rather than the opinion of men, he'd say, the only thing I have to worry about is that I'm going to stand before God someday, and that God sees what I'm doing right now.
Well, and I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. What I do know is that human nature, people find a way to sometimes just to get out of the tough situations. I mean, even, let's be fair. Peter denied Jesus three times, okay? Was Peter going to heaven? Yeah. Was he a leader in the church? Yeah. Was he very close to Jesus? Yeah. But at a certain point when the heat was on, he cowered. Now, later on, I think he got bolder about things.
Well, and he had the Holy Spirit later on. He was operating in the flesh and without the Holy Spirit during the time of the denials.
Well, and that's exactly my point. And it can happen, because even after all of that, you know, Paul took Peter to task because he kind of sided with the people who were, you know, saying you got to get circumcised and all that. And Paul had it out with Peter for going back into legalism. So all I'm saying is that people are people. And so sometimes even people who are good Christians, people who are solid believers, sometimes they just give in and are not they're not bold enough to speak the truth because either it may cost them or they may suffer harm. And I think we see a lot of that. And I've seen it with pastors in my own life. I've been following Jesus for 54 years. Isn't that amazing? And there are times when I've thought, this is too hard, or what are people going to think? Or, you know, we all have that stuff we wrestle with. So I can understand that. It doesn't excuse it when people make bad decisions. It doesn't excuse poor behavior or compromise. But I'm just saying, I understand the human condition. It's very easy sometimes just to give in to those little pressures. But I love Drew Brees, and there's a lot of athletes that I do love. But I don't expect them to be perfect. Even if they're professing Christians, I know that people fail and people will disappoint you. But by the grace of God, there go I. So let me come back now to my favorite athlete to not like. And this is King James, LeBron James. He just has me scratching my head sometimes with the things that he says. He always loves to put down people for not being educated. I find this hilariously ironic because he didn't have much education and stuff. But for instance, you know, when Trump got elected, he explained that people were not educated. This is great. He says, I think one of the biggest problems that we have when it comes to vote time, that people are not educated. I just don't think a lot of people make choices, and I think they was not educated.
Trump primarily got elected because of his stand on the borders. So an uneducated person believes a country should not have borders. Is that where he was going with that?
No, he just said that people was not educated. And
yeah, well, of course, people make those imbecile comments and then they never give an example to support what they're saying.
Well, he doesn't have to. But and a whole lot of it has to do with the Black Lives Matter and that kind of stuff. And the perception, I don't know how they did this, but people now, a lot of people, are convinced that Donald Trump is a racist.
He became a racist the day he decided to run for president. Prior to that, Hillary invited him to her daughter's wedding. He was pals with Chuck Schumer. He was pals with Jesse Jackson. He was a racist when he decided to run against Hillary and to not allow the queen to be anointed.
And that's the one way you can get people to hate someone is convince them he's a racist. Anyway, and then there was this episode, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, another basketball team, Daryl Morey, came out and publicly supported the people of Hong Kong. And James literally went to the NBA and tried to get them to punish him. And according to LeBron, Morey wasn't educated on the subject.
So, again, I'd like to hear his own interpretation and explanation of what would have been a more educated position on Hong Kong.
Yeah, I don't think he offered that.
Because he didn't have that.
Yeah, that's his MO, to say, well, you're just not educated. I just
that's right up there with Biden's, come on, man, give me a break.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much his version of that. And then one of our favorites, Laura Ingraham. You know Laura Ingraham?
Oh, of course. Love Laura, yeah. Fox News, talk radio.
So she took LeBron to task publicly. And
was he on her show, or was she just challenging him in the in the abstract?
Just in one of her monologues or one of her shows, and she said, you know, LeBron, you know, makes $100 million a year to bounce a ball, which isn't completely true. His contract's only a little over $40 million, but he makes more endorsements. But anyway, she said, just shut up and dribble. That was her statement.
Well, she wrote that book, Shut Up and Sing, for Hollywood actresses like Barbara Streisand.
Same thing. Yeah, and what we're talking about here, there are a lot of American athletes, and really they are the counterpart to the Hollywood woke nation. And so it's very, very, they are entertainers. The truth is, sports in this country, at least, is certainly entertainment and big business. So it's very much like people who make movies or people who record songs. So she said, shut up and dribble, and LeBron said, we won't shut up and dribble. I'm too important to society.
Wow, that sounds like the kind of stuff Cassius Clay used to say about himself.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali.
I mean too much to society. Cassius, Muhammad, I was a big fan of his, believe it or not. I think You know, he said so many times, I'm the greatest of all time, that pretty soon everybody believed it. I personally think that Sugar Ray Leonard was the greatest fighter of all time, but pound for pound, inch for inch. But Ali was, he was the most recognizable face on the planet at one point.
That might be, but when he keeps tooting his own horn and bragging about it, it gets tiresome.
You know, he stole that from professional wrestlers.
Nobody takes professional wrestling seriously. Everybody knows that that's staged. It's part of the show. I just made a lot of people angry right now. Hope none of them are professional wrestlers.
Oh no, Ali, it was a show. And I've seen too many clips of him where he turns and he's snickering. He can't keep a straight face because he knows he's playing to the camera. But he made a great career. He was a great self-promoter. But, you know, his things, he did have some convictions, agree with him or not. He joined the Black Muslim movement, and I didn't appreciate that, but he at least was doing what he said was, you know, he was standing by his convictions or whatever. He refused to be inducted because he was against, as he said, I ain't got nothing against those Viet Cong. And so at least he was doing things, and it was his convictions. People, some agreed with him, some didn't. And certainly at that time, the Vietnam War was not very popular.
A lot of us had convictions against the Vietnam War in those days, but if you really asked us to comment on it, we didn't know what we were talking about. But I know what I'm talking about with this. We will be right back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back with one more segment with Jim Barrier.
Okay, so now, and we have talked about this, there was a tragic shooting at a school in Uvalde, Texas, and it will take a long time for people to work through that. Every time something like this happens, it's horrific. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a parent and hearing about that and knowing that your child...
The worst thing that could happen to a human being.
Yeah. So I'm not downplaying that. I think it was a very serious thing. I think the simplistic answers that people are giving to are not realistic. I personally think having better security armed guards on campuses, I think that's a reasonable solution. Yes, it would cost money, but you know what? There's a lot of money the government spends on other things that could easily be sacrificed for the safety of our children. So we have this basketball coach here in San Antonio, Greg Popovich. He's lovingly known as Pop, or at least he was until a few years ago. He now has more wins than any coach in history in the NBA. He's the longest tenured coach in the NBA. Those two things seem to go hand in hand. He hasn't really done anything since Tim Duncan retired. And by his own admission, that someone said, what's the secret to your genius? He said, well, draft David Robinson and Tim Duncan. That's what's genius. So anyway, Pop, when this thing happened, he went down and spoke at one of the rallies. And this is what he said. I'm sick and tired of 50 and 60 and 70-year-old white men screwing up all of our lives because they're selfish and really care about nothing else but their position. You know.
And this was supposed to have had something to do with the shooting?
Well, because they don't pass gun laws. And he says, I think it's pretty obvious. Here's what's obvious, Greg. You are a 73-year-old white male who's hung on to his position long past when you were useful.
But he thinks he's absolving himself by putting down other white males. That's...
Well,
strategy.
You know, it's that same rhetoric. You know, it's the government's fault because they don't pass better gun laws. And that's just an easy way to say, it's not my fault, it's their fault. That kind of stuff just kicks me off. By the way, Pop, since he started getting uber political, and, you know, he sided with Colin Kaepernick for kneeling and Black Lives Matter and all of that kind of stuff. He's just taken that whole party line. And here's what's happened. This is just local news here, but one Spurs fan was a Spurs fan for 25 years. His name was Bob Mueller, and he was in the paper, and he said, "I'm done with the team because of Popovich." And he said he insulted more than half of the Spurs fan base, and no sign of apology whatsoever. He basically told my wife and my son and I that we are fools for supporting the likes of Donald Trump. And when someone calls you a fool, what do? You avoid them. Another Spurs fan, this is a woman, Cassandra Casanova, she said, "I've been a Spurs fan forever, and I just don't care anymore." She took all of her Spurs shirts and paraphernalia and gave them to a charity. She said, "I quit. I'm angry. I'm done with basketball because of Popovich." And there are indications that there are a lot of people who have done the same thing. I myself do not follow the Spurs anymore. Now, honestly, I knew they were done when Tim Duncan retired, but Pop promised to retire. He said, when Tim retires, I will retire. But, you know, he just likes the limelight, and he likes the money. But they have lost a lot of their fan base just because of this one man who feels like he has to pontificate to the rest of us.
Well, the true heroes in the world are people who grudgingly did the right thing because they were in a bind and they felt they had to speak out. When somebody's going out of his way to make himself sound like a cool hero, it's so obvious. And it's so obvious how history will truly paint the man and others of his ilk.
You know, I think some of these folks, and there are a lot of them, I'm just picking on a couple of people because it's NBA Finals right now, and I didn't even get to Steve Kerr. And I love Steve Kerr. I think he's a good guy, but he just got all caught up in this stuff, and he will not speak out against China. And he went on a real rant about the shooting.
See, that would take real courage, speaking out against China. That's where the light comes down in the house, right there, because that would take real courage. Because that would bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, definitely. But this is my take on this. I know we're wrapping up here. I think that a lot of these sports people, sports celebrities, are very much like the Hollywood types, actors. And then in the rock and roll world, and you know, it's tragic for me, some of my favorite actors and musicians are ultra-liberal. And so I try to watch their films, I try to listen to the music, but then I just don't want to hear them talk. And this is the picture that I got. They're on a pedestal. We put them on a pedestal. And when they're on a pedestal, they have an enormous audience and a very loud voice.
And after a while, they feel they need to start saying important things, but they don't actually research it. So they say something that's very easy to say.
They don't need to research it. They can go on an emotional tirade. And the problem with the pedestal mentality, even if you didn't hoist yourself up there, someone else put you up there. When you're up there, just picture this. If you see someone on a pedestal and a crowd around them, their view tends to look down on everyone else. And I think that's what we've got with some of these people. They've been put up there, and now they think they believe their own press. That's another way of saying it. And they think they're more important. And I think you're right. One of the first people to do that was probably Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay. And so he would get up and say things. He was not really a highly educated man. I mean, his job was getting hit in the head by other boxers, you know. So most of the time, he ducked their punches. But I think it took its toll on him. But he was one of the first to do this kind of thing, and he made it okay. And now everybody does it. And so people can get up and rant and rave. They're making millions and millions of dollars to play a sport, which I love sports. I follow sports. And by the way, I was going to say this at the start of the show. You said, would Jesus go to the games? Would he watch sports? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that Paul the Apostle did. He talked about race.
He used the Greek Olympics and some of the Roman Colosseum games as illustrations when he spoke.
Yeah. So I think he hung out at the gym. I think he went to the games. He was a Roman citizen. He probably went to the circus. You know, so I'm just saying that was where the Ben-Hur race was, you know, the big.
Actually, in the movie, the big race was not held in the Roman Colosseum. It was supposed to have been held in Judea. Ben-Hur had done some of the games in Rome and become famous there. Just on and a technical point, even though it's a fictitious movie and doesn't matter.
I've seen that site. It's just a big pile of dirt now, but you can still see
the remains of it in Caesarea are still better, but Ben-Hur was talking about it going on in Jerusalem, which it apparently did, but I don't think they have the remains of it in Jerusalem anymore.
No, I don't think so. But my point is that I think Paul was very well versed with athletics and what was going on. So
he was Jewish, but he was a Roman citizen. I'm sure his uncle Shlomo took him to a sporting event here and there.
You know, Paul was every man. He was all things to all men so that he might win some.
Exactly.
And wasn't that a nice segue back into some sense of reality and and relevancy to this program? So, you know, I've taken a few pot shots, and I just want to say this in closing, which for most preachers means we have 20 minutes to go. Laura Ingram, LeBron James, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Enos Kanter, all of these people have freedom of speech. They have the right to express their opinion, as you and I do on this show. And I guess the difference is, I love one of the things on one of the breaks, it talks about call in. Bob isn't afraid to hear somebody with a different opinion. And I think that's what we've lost much in this society. If you don't agree with the woke crowd or the political correct crowd, then you get censored. You get shunned.
Exactly.
Because you lose your job. And so, I'm glad that people have the freedom to express their opinion. I wish that went all across the board and everybody had equal freedom.
Okay, well, Jim, we don't have too much more freedom right now because we're running out of time. Okay. It's always a pleasure having you. We will see you next time on the Bob Siegel Show.
Okay, man.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.